Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diversity in Selling, the only podcast dedicated to selling in diverse business markets. And now, today's podcast, hosted by David Tyson, CEO, sales leader, and millennial expert.
Hello, everyone. It's a great day to be in America. I really enjoy the opportunities to speak to you. And as we listen to the song by Louis Armstrong, let's just think about the world as we know it today. It is a world that we have to be concerned about safety. It is a world that we have to be concerned about diversity and all of the things that may be leading up to November of 2016. We will all have to deal with that in one form or another. So welcome to this edition of Diversity in Selling. Today, we will have a conversation with an African-American senior sales leader in corporate America. Today's show will feature Jerome Rose, who wears multiple hats. He wears the hat of a father, as a husband, as well as wearing the hat of a senior vice president for North American sales for a major IT company that's a global company. And so today's topic, you know, a conversation with an African-American sales leader in corporate America. Let's get it started. Jerome, welcome to Diversity in Selling.
Thank you, David. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Jerome, you know, the introduction that I just gave, you know, as we talk about this topic today of diversity in selling, as you and I have known each other for several years now, we've done business together, and I think that's important because, as I probably expressed to you, you know, I've been around in this marketplace, the Dallas marketplace, for a period of time, but I'm now in my fourth generation, I should say my fourth decade in sales, and of course, there haven't been many people in your seat of color. And so, you know, let's talk a little bit about that today, but let's also talk about, on a bigger scope, you know, how Jerome Rose sees, you know, selling with a major organization, what it's like to sell on a global basis. And I know your focus is on North America. So let's talk a little bit about Jerome Rose first and how long you've been in sales, how long you've been with the current company that you're with, how long you've been in that leadership role, and what it's like to be in that particular seat.
Yeah, no problem, David. From my standpoint, I've been in sales since college. It's been, I guess, 19 years now. And started my career off with IBM, was there for 12 years in a variety of sales and sales management roles, and then joined my current company, Systems Maintenance Services, just under 7 years ago. It'll actually be 7 years this August.
That's
and
awesome.
It's been a nice experience. Obviously, from a sales standpoint, coming up through initially at IBM, you get they have a storied history related to sales and a lot of good training that you get being a part of an organization like that. And it's been helpful to take some of that, a lot of what I've learned at IBM, as well as working with other organizations, partners and companies we have alliances with, and getting some exposure to their sales and organizations over the years and bringing that to Systems Maintenance Services. So the position that I'm currently in, I've held since January of 2013. But prior to that, I ran a portion of the country for SMS. And then when I initially came to SMS, I was actually in a player coach role where I was managing a team in Texas, but also had a few larger national accounts that I was calling on myself.
Okay. That's awesome. So now that you've risen the ranks in the senior role as Vice President of North American Sales, tell us a little bit about what it's like, first of all, to be in that position, regardless of what the race or gender may be.
Yeah, I think as far as being in the position, it's there's always a balance. I think for any salesperson or sales leader, you're always trying to balance strategic activities up against tactical activities. And I think as someone who came up via sales, my affinity is always to get involved in some of the tactical sales activities because that's what you enjoy. But
right.
The reality is you have to balance that with with a variety of management activities and some strategic activities, whether that is related to just direction that you're trying to take the organization, whether that's doing a variety of analytics to make better decisions for the future, as
mm-hmm.
well as thinking through just personnel in the market and you know, making sure that you have the right personnel to meet the demands that of the market that you're in long term. That's always the constant. You know, balancing those activities always is a struggle.
You know, I'm glad you said that. So for the listeners out there, you know, one of the things that all of us who are great salespeople, and I underscore great salespeople, whenever we have to, you know, take that hat off for a moment, and as we move up that ladder to sales manager and to senior level in terms of where you are, you know, the thing that got us to where we are now was sales, was being successful in sales. So now, you know, we're acting as coaches and trainers and managers, and that's important. But ultimately, now not only are you in a role where you have to be strategically aligned with the corporate goals and objectives of the organization, but you have to be tactical in some regards because, you know, the people out in the field think that, you know, you've gotten so far removed from what's actually happening in an account that sometimes, you know, when you ask for things or you make corporate demands, as one might say, that they feel you're out of touch. How do you deal with that sort of thing?
I deal with it by trying to give a perspective. Anytime I ask for a request, trying to give a little bit of the background of why I'm asking for it and what's the reasoning behind it. And obviously, you can't do that. There are times that you have to. You can't disclose everything as far as from why you may be making certain requests, but as much as possible, I try to provide that additional background on, hey, this is not an exercise, just what I would call a monitoring exercise or just an activity that I'm requesting or information I'm requesting just for my own use. I try to give them a perspective on what the information is going to be used for, why it's important, and most importantly, why it's valuable to them. I think that's the piece that is critical, making sure that when we make these requests, people get a sense of there's some decisions that will be made, that this information will help them in the long run by providing it.
Okay. You know, I like that response, Jerome. I think it's very important that people understand the reasons why questions or assignments, demands, direction is being asked of them. And as we, you know, as we grow into this decade, as it's now a decade where millennials are coming into sales organizations, Generation Xers like yourself or in leadership roles, and those of us that are baby boomers may still be around, but you know we're probably exiting out, you know, of the corporate or in the corporate spectrum, you know. So you've got to develop a sales team that is made up of diverse individuals, whether it is from an ethnic, gender, or from an age group. How have you been successful in going about accomplishing that?
It's definitely, you know, I don't think we're there yet. I think it's something that's a constant, or it's a long process, right? It's a constant process.
Right.
From the standpoint of our team specifically, you know, we've worked, I think we have a good makeup of people with a variety of backgrounds, ages, experiences, et cetera. And that's come a little bit over time. When I did roll it, come into this position, there were, we had a very senior, experienced sales team, senior sales team. And there was a lot of advantages to that. But we had to be cognizant of the fact that our market also looked a little different now. And so a lot of the contacts and quote-unquote buyers that we were engaging with had different experience levels, and that's the term that I like to use, experience levels, if you will. So we tried to bring in people with different experience levels so that we can, try to match them up sometimes with their buyers. And again, it's not an exact science by any means, but I think it's been important to our evolution to bring in people with different age ranges, different amounts of experience from a selling perspective, and then obviously different backgrounds, whether that be racially, from a gender perspective, and other perspectives.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's I appreciate you sharing that with the group because, in this whole focus in this radio broadcast and the overall component of my involvement in my deciding to bring on a program like this as it relates to diversity and selling, as I may have shared with you off air from time to time, when I entered the sales arena, four decades ago, when I showed up, it was a quite different, environment. Let's just say, in fact, we were under some of the old guidelines of what one might call affirmative action, and affirmative action is now considered in business really an ugly word to utilize, but many organizations still utilize affirmative action in some form or another, whether it's goals or, looking for various ways of matching up their sales team to meet their client base. And I think that's, while you didn't use that term, a lot of what I think that organizations are faced with is what is the value of diversity in selling? What is the value of having diversity in your organization? And so ultimately, what I equate that to is diversity equals the bottom line. And so that tends to get the attention of CFOs and organizations. Well, if there's no other reason than you make a decision to bring a person on board, look at what that is going to do for your bottom line. Or if you choose not to bring individuals on, then look at that as well as how it may affect your bottom line. Now, I know that's a lot to say, but you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that, again, the need to do that is to bring on a diverse group of personnel, I think, is often driven by the market. But I think there's a lot of companies that are seeing value of from just a difference in their decision-making process. So when they get different ideas and different experiences at the table to make meaningful decisions, I think that there's a lot of research that would tell you the quality of the decisions are much better. And so I think from a bottom-line standpoint, being able to mirror the markets that you engage in, that obviously affects the bottom line, but then also to the ability to improve decision making and make better internal and external decisions, I think also improves the bottom line.
Jerome, I appreciate you sharing that. So, what do you think? What are the maybe one, two, or three components that you believe prepared you to be the senior sales leader you are today? Give us an idea. For those young men and women out there now that are salespeople or that are even sales managers, if they want to become a Jerome Rose, what do you think it has taken for you to arrive at where you are now. And because I know you on a more personal basis, at least, you know, you are a young man, you know, and I say that with all respect. And I know you're in your early 40s, but it took you some time to get there. You mentioned 19 years, but you mind sharing that with us?
Yeah, let me first say I definitely have not arrived, and I say that in the sense that I think that part of quote unquote getting there is the constant learning, is the constant mentality of trying to get better, and so you know, one of the things my parents or my wife will always tell me that I'm probably the hardest critic of myself, in that, but I think that's somewhat of a good mentality to have, because you're always going to be looking for ways to try to improve and get better. And I do think it's important to while you should be satisfied and you know, comfortable with you know, where you are in life and things, and kind of take some value in what you've done in life, I also think it's very important to always be on a path of learning more, trying to understand more, trying to grasp more. And I think that piece is part of the reason I've been able to do some of the things I have in my career. I think people look for that. I think top CEOs, top senior management, they look for people who have an eagerness to learn. And I'll call it I've heard the term before, professional curiosity. I think that professional curiosity is something that is anyone that is younger that I work with or that I have a discussion with that's thinking about a sales career, and I'm on an advisory board at my alma mater specifically around professional selling. And anytime I'm talking to the students there, that professional curiosity is one of the key things that I tell them that's important from a career standpoint, whether you're 5 years into your career or whether you're 35 years into your career.
Jerome, that's interesting what you've just said. Now, a lot of what you've said, I really get it, and I think a lot of people will appreciate that. But, you know, I appreciate you sharing the fact that you're saying you don't think you have arrived yet. Many people that are listening to this will assume that you have arrived, okay? And so I appreciate you sharing that. You mentioned a few things about that eagerness and that willingness to learn on a continuous basis. You know, so, you know, that kind of comes into the fold of training and development. And you and I have talked a lot about training and development. And so if you're never satisfied, you know, with where you are, then I think that keeps you balanced, but it also keeps you, as you mentioned, professional curiosity, and that's really, really important. Now I want to step on something that I think that you've indicated that we are not seeing on the college campus. You know, professional sales training, classroom opportunities for young people that are in college, they aren't on many college campuses. I mean, you can't really go to a college campus and get a degree in sales. You can get a degree in marketing. So you've indicated something that you're doing at your alma mater. And please feel free to share with the audience, if that's okay. You know, where did you go to college? And what are some of the things that you might be doing to enhance professional sales development on the college campus?
Yeah, I went to Baylor University, and it's funny. I've actually didn't realize until probably about 2 or 3 years ago that Baylor had developed this professional selling program, and now it's actually a major. And what I've also learned is that there are probably, I'm going to get the number wrong, but at least 30 or 40 universities across the country that now either have programs, professional selling programs, or actual majors in selling. Because what I've learned from talking to people at Baylor and on other campuses is that they've realized this that the sales role is really now a true professional career, right? There used to be the stigma that sales was just, you know, that they would equate it to what the experience they might have had at a car dealership. And what they're realizing is that particularly in business-to-business sales, there's a lot that's involved, and it's really become a professional track that's viable. And so it's been exciting for us as an organization. We were talking earlier about bringing in talent with, you know, different talent, younger talent, less experienced talent. Well, now even in our – and we're nowhere near where we need to be, but we've looked at some of those programs as potential recruiting grounds for people that we're trying to get into the sales organization. Because at least from my experience, particularly with Baylor, it's been really impressive, the program that they put together. And I always tease when I go to the sessions and I'm, you know, doing mock interviews or I'm, you know, spending time with the actual students, I tend to take more notes than the students do because of the training that they get.
Well, I guess that goes back to that professional curiosity, doesn't it?
It does.
That's exciting. So, Jerome, we're going to take just a little break here, and here are the couple closing questions, thoughts for you as we go through this break. I want you to talk about what your personal goals are, if you're okay with that. Maybe your top one or two personal goals from a career perspective, since you've already indicated, you know, you've got that professional curiosity and you're not there yet. And what advice you might have for those individuals that are listening, particularly, I would say, people of color and millennials. So let's take a little break, and I want to we're going to come back and focus on goals and then have some closing thoughts.
The last week in March typically represents the end of first quarter. If you have been goal-focused, it's time for your accountability review. So here's the question. Did you achieve your business, personal, and financial goal for first quarter? If you achieved your personal, business, and financial goal for first quarter, then you're on the path to success in 2016. And congratulations. On the other hand, if you missed your goal, it may be time to adjust or move that goal into second quarter. And of course, if you are part of the 2% of overachievers, then it's time for a Coke and a smile. No matter how you ended quarter one, stay goal focused and stay accountable.
We've talked about goals. So your thoughts on goals for yourself, for your business, for the balance of 2016, how would you like to share that with the audience?
Yeah, I think from an organizational standpoint, I think the goals are, you know, relatively common. We want to make sure that we keep tracking towards the results that we need to deliver back to our board, back to our investors. And so from an organizational standpoint, we're going to stay focused on trying to do the right things, whether it be from the types of clients we engage with or the type of pursuits we engage in. We're going to work hard to deliver the numbers from a revenue standpoint and profit standpoint to the business. From a professional standpoint, personally, you know, it's interesting. I've enjoyed my sales career, and I've learned a lot. When I talk about that professional curiosity that I have, I'm interested in understanding more of the other roles that are critical to an organization. I've spent a lot of time with our folks that lead our marketing organization, lead our operation organization, because I think as well as our finance. And I think in order to be really good, not just for as a sales leader, I think it's important to understand those other functions from a business perspective and be able to address their needs as a sales leader, to be able to address the needs that they have functionally so that they can run their portions of the business well. And so, that's something that I want to learn more about. But I also think it's just something to be attentive to for any sales leader to understand their role and how it relates to those other functions. And I think the other thing that interests me professionally is that I think is just we should all be thinking about is our opportunities for ownership. And
there
so,
you go. There you go.
I know, and David, having talked to you, I know that's always been an interest of yours. I think that when you look at the opportunities that are out there in the market, there are many opportunities to engage in either passive ownership or active ownership of businesses. There's a lot of people looking for capital. There's a lot of whether it be I'll call them capital projects that are out there in the market. People, you know, put. I got a note the other day about people putting together a group to go buy a strip mall, and that was a passive ownership opportunity. But and it required a certain amount of capital investment, but there were pretty good returns. I think as a someone in corporate America, you should do very well from your corporate perspective, but you should also be looking at those opportunities, investment opportunities, you know, outside of your day job so that you have the opportunity to just kind of maximize your overall returns. And I think that's, I know for a fact, that is something that I'll be putting a lot more time and energy into over the years, because it's probably something I didn't do early enough in my career, but now my eyes are kind of opened a little bit more, and it's something I plan on. I'm exploring a lot of those type of opportunities, and some of them, again, they do take a certain amount of capital to be able to participate, but I think that's stepping out there and doing it is important, because it'll give you good returns in the long run.
Jerome, that's awesome. Yeah, I spent in my last corporate gig, I spent 4 years with the organization, and of those 4 years, 6 months of that time was spent as the marketing manager. And that was the first time I had been in an active marketing role. As you know, for those of us that are in sales, you know, we look at the marketing department and we don't always appreciate what they do. But in order to understand the overall organization and to be successful in sales, it is a good balance to understand what the marketing team does, and it is very valuable to understand what the operations team does, because they work together in concert with one another. And you know, if sales might pick up the slack here, marketing might pick up the slack here, but then operations really has to do the job, you know. And so
right.
If those things aren't working well, you know, we are not successful. So I would say, as a part of your professional curiosity, if there's an opportunity to be involved in a marketing slot, you know, for a period of time, then take advantage of that, because I think it'll make you a much more rounded senior sales leader, and it will potentially give you the expertise that you need to be a CEO in the corporate space, or be the CEO in the entrepreneurial world, you know, that some of us aspire, and some of us have actually taken the risk and moved out into that world. Just as an FYI, I've now been an entrepreneur for 10 years. And so,
wow.
I would say to you that it's not all bad, but you know, you have to be prepared to do it. And I would always say, do it sooner, younger, rather than later. Jerome, I expected this to be an outstanding interview and opportunity to visit, because when you've got two salespeople on the phone, you can have a great conversation always. Any closing thoughts?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to join and participate today. It's kudos to you and looking at this a form of media to present this type of discussion. I think that's it was intriguing to me when you reached out, and it's been exciting to hear this format.
Awesome. Jerome, be blessed. And I leave the audience with these words. Keep the faith. Faith works. Until next time.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see white and blue. It's for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. For more information, join our LinkedIn group, Diversity in Selling, or email us at diversityinselling.com. Until next time, have an amazing week.